It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And good afternoon, listeners. Scott McCray with Explore Fairbanks here in the studio along with my colleague and co-host Bill Wright. And welcome to the second episode of the new Explore Fairbanks radio show here on KFAR, where we have conversations about all things pertaining to tourism in the Golden Heart City. Bill,
hello.
How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing great. It's been a wonderful summer so far. We're so excited to have the sun out, and it's just been beautiful.
It has been lovely here. And so this is great. We have a very exciting show for you folks today that is centered around a huge historic event that is, in fact, taking place on this very day. And we'll talk about that event momentarily. But for now, I would like to welcome into the studio via phone our special guest, the president and CEO of the Alaska Railroad, Bill O'Leary. Mr. O'Leary, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, no, it's great having you here today. I guess, first of all, Bill, start off by telling us a little bit about yourself. Now, I know you're a local boy who has gone on to great things, and in fact, you're the only lifelong Alaskan to serve as the president and CEO of the Alaska Railroad. And how did you first get involved with the railroad? Because I have in the back of my mind, I picture a young Bill O'Leary sitting in an elementary classroom here in Fairbanks, and one day you hear that train whistle, and your ears perk up, and you say, yeah, I'm going to go on and be in charge of that someday. Is that how it worked?
So basically, if you're going to answer the question as well as asking it, Scott, I think there's going to be a very interesting discussion here. No, I am originally from Fairbanks, born in the old St. Joseph's Hospital in the wilds of 1965, so you can do the math on that real quick if you want. But I am the only lifelong Alaskan to serve as CEO at this point. So, as I like to call it, the local boy makes mediocre here for the most part. I was born in Fairbanks, went to good Catholic boy, went to Monroe High School, and graduated from UAF, where I went to work for a group called the Division of Legislative Audit. I'm a CPA by training, and one of the things we used to do was audit the Alaska Railroad. So I've always had an interest and a fascination in transportation and logistics and how that works to really as sort of a linchpin of an area's economy. And I was working as the finance guy for Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airports at the time when the opportunity for the chief financial officer job at the railroad opened up, and I came over here, and then, as I like to refer to it, ascended to the throne here almost 10 years ago as the CEO.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have a fellow Fairbanksan, more importantly, a fellow Nanook in charge of the railroad here. So, well, let's shift gears, Bill, and talk about this momentous occasion the railroad is celebrating this year. And I say momentous because Alaska is a young state. There aren't many things here that are 100 years old. And in fact, today is that actual date in 1923 when President Warren G. Harding drove in the Golden Spike in Nenana to signify the end of construction. So tell us a little about the significance of the centennial for the railroad and about this great event taking place today.
Yeah, Scott, and you absolutely nailed it. It is a big, big deal, not only for the Alaska Railroad, for its employees, but for the state. There are very, very few entities in this state that can say they're 100 years old. And I think what it does is it just really speaks to the importance, the tremendous lasting power and importance of the Alaska Railroad to this state and to the communities and the people that it serves. It's, it's just amazingly durable. It's been an important part of Alaska's history from the beginning in, 1923 up through the Second World War, up through, the oil boom with the construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and now as, really just this absolutely incredible piece of infrastructure in a state, as I'm always saying, that is really just bereft of of basic infrastructure, to have a 600 plus miles of track in a state like this to be able to efficiently, safely move goods and people is a huge, huge thing. So it's a big deal, I think, to be 100 years old and be celebrating our centennial. So to do that, we're actually having a great big party today in Nenana, where, of course, the Golden Spike was driven back in on this day, July 15th, 1923, as you said. And we're going to have a number of dignitaries taking a train down to help us celebrate and just have a fine time in the good town of Nenana.
Well, I know the town of Nenana is very much looking forward to it. And I believe, in fact, the railroad, you donated a pavilion that's going to be in place there in Nenana as well.
We did, actually. I think that's just kind of something that wanted to have for the community. I think it's going to be longer lasting and just kind of in recognition of the importance of Nenana and all of the, good support they've shown us throughout, as we plan for this. I'm calling it the party in Nenana.
Wonderful. Well, I know they're looking forward to it. So, Bill, let's talk just here momentarily, briefly here, about kind of the structure of the railroad. So it was owned by the federal government, I believe, until about 1985 when it was purchased by the state of Alaska. And you said in a recent interview with Alaska Business Monthly that is designed to smell, taste, and feel like private industry, but it's very much owned by the state. Can you elaborate on that? And what does private industry smell like?
Depending on the day, it can smell like a lot of different things.
Coal.
All right? Yeah, that's using my own words against me, Scott, after all we've been through together, all right? Yeah, it is. It's a really, really unique model. The railroad was owned by the federal government, purchased by the state, and then the state, I think, in its wisdom, the administration at the time, then Governor Sheffield, and the legislature at the time, I think, really showed a tremendous amount of innovation and foresight when they set the organization up as an independent corporation of the state. So the state of Alaska is the only shareholder of this corporation, of the Alaska Railroad Corporation. But it's a very different corporation than some of the other state quasi-corps in that, we are charged with effectively, I call it making our own way or paying our own way. We don't go to the state legislature for our monies. We have a 7-person board of directors appointed by the governor who, really handles those sort of functions, approves our budgets, approves our, other functions that in many cases would be done by the legislature. We are not state employees. We are corporate employees. We have our own, pay and benefits system out there. And we've got, at the peak of our summer business, we've got, 750 employees or so, and, but, 125 less during the non-peak times in the year. But we provide freight, passenger, and real estate services to Alaska and Alaskans. And that's how we earn our monies, the monies that we then have that are kind of left over after we pay our operating expenses, then become the basis for our capital program. And railroading is almost unbelievably capital intensive enterprise, and therefore takes a lot of care and feeding to maintain, again, those 600 miles of track, the 50-plus locomotives, the 45 passenger cars, the, pushing 1,000 freight cars that we have. We've got, 175 bridges. We've got a lot of stuff that needs a lot of care and feeding. So we have to do that through our earnings and the fact we are eligible, like all other passenger railroads in the nation, for federal formula monies, federal formula funds, which then also plays into our capital program here. But we really do have to operate in many ways as private industry, but we are at the end of the day, owned by the state of Alaska. Kind of a long-winded answer, but I'm fairly well known for that.
No, thank you for clarifying that here. And I want to maybe elaborate more on the freight component of the railroad. I believe it is the more significant component for you. And a lot of people wonder, well, why do we need a railroad to haul freight? Can't things be shipped, via truck? But having that opportunity with the railroad makes a pretty big difference. And in fact, there are some things that the railroad ships via freight that could not be shipped any other way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at a map of Alaska, and I like to say basically, it's a third of the size of Western Europe or whatever it is at this point. And you look at the number of highways out there on that map, and it's amazing that we can move as much stuff as we do on those roads when those roads are not, specifically, held for purely for that. I mean, they're sharing the road with lots and lots of other users out there. So to have a freight railroad is, absolutely key in trying to drive economic development for this state. And that's really what we're about. We are an agent for economic development, whether it's our passenger, whether it's our freight, or whether it's our real estate services out there. Our existence is there to, help the economy of this state. And we do that through moving, somewhere in the, 3.5 to 4 million tons of freight annually from many different points in Alaska. So, we move petroleum products up to Fairbanks, where, they're put in use in the Fairbanks area, but also a large majority of them are then transloaded onto truck and then moved up to the North Slope to support the oil industry up there. We move a tremendous amount of consumer goods between Anchorage and Fairbanks. A lot of those consumer goods are coming in from, it's a multimodal approach here. So these consumer goods are coming in on some of the steamships that arrive in Anchorage at the Port of Alaska, transloaded onto train, and then moved up to Fairbanks. Remarkably efficient, safe way of moving those products up there. We move tremendous amounts of gravel or aggregate products in the South Central area here, down in Anchorage, where I'm based. So from the Mathew Valley down to Anchorage to support road projects out there. Every single thing, almost every single thing, there are some things that really are very, very rail specific, but almost everything we move could be moved by truck. But I will tell you what, the impact on the actual roads, the impact on people, on other users of those roads would be quite palpable out there. So it's I think the state is very fortunate to have this infrastructure in place for freight operations.
Well, I'm sure people in Fairbanks would agree when they're making a road trip down the Parks Highway how much nicer it is to have the railroad hauling all that freight as opposed to trucks that would be going up and down that highway, increasing the traffic there. So an added benefit there that I think a lot of people here are thankful for, especially in the summer season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a big deal. I mean, a lot of people going down from Anchorage down to, Kenai Peninsula and Seward area and things like that. And, that's a two-lane highway for the most part, the Seward Highway currently. And, it's a very dangerous highway at times. And it's something to, have the ability to move people and products away from that just really makes it so much, I think, more enjoyable for folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bill, we're going to go into a two-minute break here, and when we return, since we are a tourism industry, visitor talk show, we'll switch gears here, go on a different track, and we'll talk about the railroad as it pertains to the visitor industry. So we'll take a quick two-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Excellent.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
This summer, we're celebrating 100 years of the Alaska Railroad. With daily departures and special deals, there's never been a better time to ride the rails than today. Right now, you can book a day trip and be on your way to some of Alaska's most iconic destinations and be back the same day. Traveling by train means stress-free, easy riding for the whole group. Come ride the rails to Talkeetna, to Denali, today. Find more destinations and book now at AlaskaRailroad.com.
All aboard!
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And welcome back to the show. Scott McRae, Explore Fairbanks, here in the studio along with my co-host Bill Wright. And on the phone with us today, the president and CEO of the Alaska Railroad, Bill O'Leary. Bill, are you still with us?
I am, sir.
Excellent. All right. So like I said before the break, let's move now into the visitor industry and the passenger service component of the Alaska Railroad. So, starting talking about the visitor industry, what role does the railroad play in the visitor industry, and how important is that component to the overall mix of the railroad?
Oh, it's incredibly important, Scott. I mean, it's something that, you know, we're certainly best known for out of all three of our, you know, major lines of business out there. And it's something we take an amazing amount of pride in, the service we provide. So we, you know, love partnering with different organizations, and you know, like your organization, like your counterparts in Anchorage, and up and down the rail line here to, you know, to really try to provide a tremendous service. I mean, we have a number of trains that go anywhere from Tidewater at Seward. Up through and also Tidewater at Whittier, through Anchorage, and then all up along the way, you know, Wasilla, Talkeetna, Denali, and culminating in the old hometown of Fairbanks here. And it's something we're, again, as I mentioned, you know, really proud of, and just, you know, think it's been, you know, the reception for this service, these services has been really strong, and hoping to expand them.
Certainly. And I think one thing, you know, we mentioned partnership, and, you know, we Explore Fairbanks, you know, partner with your team there, the Alaska Railroad, along with our colleagues down in Visitor Anchorage to kind of promote the rail belt itinerary, you know, within Alaska. So it kind of takes all of us working together to make that a successful endeavor. But I think especially as it pertains to Fairbanks, one of the things we've been excited to see over the recent, I think maybe last 10 years, is the expansion into the winter service to kind of complement what Fairbanks has to offer as a year-round destination.
Yeah, that's been, I think, just a terrific thing. And I mean, it's so funny. I mean, growing up in Fairbanks, you know, at the time, you know, people just didn't consider Fairbanks and the interior a winter destination. And I think for the ability to talk about that and make folks realize that, yeah, there's a, you know, it's an amazing world. It's a different world, but it's an amazing world up there. You know, like so many other things in life, kind of got, I think it was slowed a little bit by COVID, but you know, started to see strong numbers again towards the end of last winter, and we think it's got definitely some room to run here, and really does provide kind of, you know, try to balance out some of the things a little bit from just, you know, the huge spike we all see in the summertime.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the component, too, with the railroad, with the passenger service side, is for residents. And I'm thinking particularly some of the special events that the Alaska Railroad puts on. One of my favorites I've participated in before, the Hoodoo Choo Choo. But there's other similar events that you guys host to, you know, make local residents here in Fairbanks or down in Anchorage more aware of what the railroad has to offer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think it's, you know, one of the great myths out there is just that the railroad, the passenger portion of the railroad is just for visitors. It's not. I mean, I think we serve, you know, an amazing number of local residents and, you know, up and down the rail line. And I think it's, in some cases, just for absolute basic transportation needs. I mean, there are some areas, you know, around the hurricane area, you know, kind of north of Talkeetna there, where rail is the only access to, you know, properties where either people are living year-round or where they are, you know, recreating and have, you know, cabins or second homes, the like. So, you know, I mean, it's a key part of the mission of our mission, you know, is to, you know, provide that service to locals as well as, you know, businesses that are more involved in the visitor industry.
I think you're referring there too with the, you know, the passenger service side, the flag stop and whistle stop service, which I believe it's the last of its kind in the country. Can you talk a little bit more about that particular service?
Yeah, let me tell you what, this is don't try this on Amtrak, okay? It's not going to end well for you. But yeah, no, we absolutely provide you know, both the flag stop and whistle stop services. Your flag stop, you know, especially on our, what we call our hurricane turn train, you know, kind of during the summer months, based out of Talkeetna, runs up towards hurricane and then you know, does exactly as I was talking about the last question or last discussion here. You know, is just, it can be, you flag the train down. I mean, locals or users that just need the train to stop, you just go out there and you wave for it and it'll stop for you. And that's something that's, I think that's actually a, even though it is frequented primarily by local residents, I think that's a great train to take visitors on because it really does get them an opportunity to see what, you know, living outside of one of the major cities in Alaska is like, and, you know, talk to some different folks on that. We also have a series of whistle stop train or whistle stops down on the south end of our railroad, you know, south of Anchorage, down towards on the way to Seward, and specifically a partnership with the United States Forest Service. I was going to say Postal Service, but that's not right. Forest Service, where they are. We have worked in conjunction with them to create a couple of whistle stop areas down there, and more to come as Forest Service budget permits. To really get people out into the Chugach National Forest. And it, you know, it's a marvelous service. I spent last weekend out there with, you know, about 22 of my closest personal friends just camping out there. And the only way you're going to get to these, you know, camp areas is by rail. So you get out there, but you're not being dumped into the wilderness. You're being put into an area that, you know, has some trails cut through. It's got some campsites that are, you know, developed out there. And you can, but really get an amazing kind of wilderness experience. I mean, you're, you know, a mile from, you know, Spencer Glacier, which is just breathtaking. I mean, it's amazing to see. And it's just a really, truly amazing area down there. That's an area I think we're going to continue to grow in conjunction with the Forest Service. And again, keep that, you know, kind of expand that whole whistle stop program.
Yeah, it's a great program. And boy, I just got to say, just overall, the railroad is such a beautiful way to experience this state with the domed cars. It's just nothing quite like it, especially if you're someone who's fond of just riding railroads in general. It's such a romantic type of transportation. You guys do a wonderful job of introducing our visitors to that.
Oh, thanks, God. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have an amazing employee base here. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, and this gets back to the whole 100 years of the railroad. I mean, there are very few organizations in this state that, you know, you can talk to people whose parents, grandparents, or even in some cases, great-grandparents have worked for the same organization. So that's something I think railroad employees take, railroaders take tremendous pride in what they do and in the service they provide to Alaska and Alaskans.
Absolutely. So we've got a few minutes left here, Bill. Let's talk a bit, you know, centennial celebrations like this, or of course, it's a great time to reflect on the past, but like also an opportunity to look ahead. So let's talk about what's next for the Alaska Railroad, and what does the next 100 years look like? What's that centennial, the next centennial in 2123 going to be?
To be clear, I'm looking forward to being there, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, I think, Scott, we're going to build on the progress and strength that we've exhibited over the first 100 years here. I think that this railroad is absolutely critical to the state of Alaska, and we take that really seriously. And as a result, we're going to, you know, continue to look for opportunities to expand and be able to, you know, help, you know, with the economic development of other parts of Alaska. So, you know, whether that's through, you know, rail extensions or rail expansions, which, are important, but incredibly expensive. And again, given our model, we are, you know, required to, you know, effectively put together a business case before we're able to do something like that. Or just be able to grow through expanding, kind of the current services we provide right now. It's going to, I think it's going to be very, very helpful for Alaska. I'm very bullish on Alaska in general. It's just an amazing place with an amazing amount of resources. We've got the greatest scenery in the world here, and a lot of it can be accessed only through the Alaska Railroad. So I think it's up to us to continue to really take this fantastic asset the state owns and continue to move it forward in support of the state of Alaska.
Absolutely. Here, a couple minutes left, Bill. One more thing I want to kind of touch upon too, and referring back to the Alaska Business Monthly interview, we mentioned about how a lot of people think trains are kind of an antiquated form of transportation, but trains today are very much indeed driven by kind of cutting edge technology. Talk a little more about that. What technology has changed that we see in the railroad of today?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you've got, there really is a nostalgia or a romanticism about, our conductors dressed up in their, conductor out uniforms and things of that nature out there. But really behind all that is amazing technology. And it has changed so much, and all really in the name of safety primarily, but also in efficiency. I mean, we have to continue to, push the envelope for being efficient out there and really trying to run it very much like a private business out there. But safety is our first and foremost value. And so it's just interesting, you go into our dispatch office and it really does look like NASA. I mean, it's not, I'm kind of fond of saying this is not your grandfather's railroad anymore. I mean, the amount of technology that's out there that allows us to move trains, and as more trains are on the system at a time, move trains, safely and efficiently using technology is really quite amazing out there.
That is, yeah, very much fascinating. So, well, Bill, we're about to wrap things up here. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on your centennial. I have to say, sir, I've seen you recently. You don't look a day over 90.
You're just not looking close enough. what can I say? Hey, thank you guys so much for the opportunity to be here. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to all my time in Fairbanks and in the interior. So appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bill. And thanks again to Alaska Railroad for, in fact, being the sponsor of this month's edition of Explore Fairbanks. Happy centennial to the Alaska Railroad. Choo-choo, I guess we'll say, in parting. This wraps up the second edition of the Explore Fairbanks. Be sure to tune in next week. And for more things pertaining to Explore Fairbanks, visit our website at explorefairbanks.com. On behalf of Bill and I, have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Explorer Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explorer Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.